I thought, oh, I'm just going to get an entry-level sales job at a tech company. I'm going to go sell technology. And I was really good at it. I stayed in sales for, geez, almost 20 years. But I don't know, like, I'd rather do something I'm more passionate about. Like, how can I apply this stuff I'm good at professionally, something I'm super passionate about personally? And what was the answer? It was Bitcoin, right? And
it feels so important. You know, it doesn't feel like you're just doing a job.
I've got purpose and that ignites my passion. And yeah, it's just so much more fulfilling day in and day out to go do something that you love. The spirit of why I created the platform was because I just feel like people don't really get the basics. They're not really doing the math. They're kind of leaning into the FUD and the opinions. And if they just had an easy way to just do some basic algebra, play around, do some math, and just have like a small aha moment. If you have a smartphone and you can do this with your finger, like, you can interact with the calculators.
I have Shane Crockett here with me today, and I'm excited to get to know him and find out what he's building in Bitcoin. Did you start getting into Bitcoin, and what made it make sense for you?
Yeah, well, me and a couple of my friends who are into Bitcoin, we laugh about this, that our degenerate journey led us to Bitcoin, thankfully, right? Something good came out of being a degenerate and taking risks and all of that stuff. But it was probably 2017, we kind of got attracted to the technology, right? Blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies. And, you know, as tech guys, me and a few of my friends really followed some of the, just some of the underlying technology and kind of looked at these as like startups, right? Like, ooh, who's going to solve the next biggest problem and be the next Google or Amazon? And so, you know, I was a big fan of like Stellar Lumen and what they had done to break away from Ripple and XRP, and how they had the open, you know, they use the open blockchain, and Chainlink became really, really fascinating, and a couple of the other L2s and smart contract platforms. Like, we were really following the tech, and we always thought of Bitcoin as just kind of being this, yeah, it was the first, but it was slow, and it wasn't really going to make a great blockchain for money because of the speed. And, you know, it just was always kind of an afterthought, but it was always present because it was always the biggest, right? Bitcoin dominance was always in our minds. And so fast forward to losing a bunch of money and, you know, wasting away tons of time and energy chasing these altcoins and cryptos, to, I don't know, 2020, probably 2020, 2021, a lot of my portfolio had kind of shifted toward Bitcoin just because it continued to succeed. And then I think during the bear market of 2020, 2022 was when I realized that, you know, Bitcoin was worth paying more attention to. That's when I found Michael Saylor, and just his bullishness, his confidence, just everything that guy exudes just got me so much more fascinated about Bitcoin. And that's really when my, I would say, orange pilling kind of began. That allowed me to start kind of being more strategic and thinking about, okay, what's the bottom here? Can I get in at the bottom? And if so, what does that look like? And so, yeah, probably the 2022 bear market winter was when I really kind of found and started prioritizing Bitcoin. And yeah, it's just been, you know, thoroughly orange pilled and all things Bitcoin ever since.
That is so much like my journey. Like, it is, I mean, not from 2017, but mine started in 2020, but it's so similar because I got sucked into the whole altcoin, shitcoin, whatever you want to call it. But I felt like I had the idea, which is probably similar to you, where I was interested in a lot of these other coins, thinking that they're going to be the next big one. What was the first place you ever bought it on Coinbase?
No, I was using Bittrex.
Okay.
So Bittrex, I didn't even know this, but they were actually a Seattle-based company. Hmm. But yeah, I used Bittrex, Coinbase, Binance US, crypto.com. But yeah, now it's all, you know, my paychecks from my 9 to 5 get deposited to Strike, converted to Bitcoin, And then I'm kind of living in a Bitcoin standard and figuring out ways to borrow against my Bitcoin. Like I've fully ported myself and trying to help others. You know, that was kind of the spirit behind the platform, is just trying to help people understand some of these strategies, some of the processes, and give people more tools that they can use to kind of connect the dots and have those aha moments. Because kind of going back to the story, right? And I listen to a lot of Jeff Booth. I think Jeff Booth is like, you know, I, it's it it his genius and his perspective and his philosophy is kind of hard to wrap your head around, because like he sees the world in like a very unique way, and he has a very unique thesis that is kind of like dark, right? Not his thesis is dark, but if what he's saying is true, it's kind of dark. And I think in just kind of learning more about Bitcoin and, you know, the global use case that really is store of value, regardless of medium of exchange, regardless of peer-to-peer cash system, regardless of what's in the white paper, the fact that we've been living in a system that is based on inflation and monetary debasement and prices always going up. Now you listen to Jeff Booth and it's like, well, we've never actually lived in a free market society if the natural state of prices is up instead of down, because technology naturally brings the prices of things down closer to the marginal cost of production. And the more I've wrapped my head around that, the more I've just kind of been like, wow, okay, this is like Bitcoin really does solve such a bigger macro systemic problem, whereas these other companies, like Jack Mallers loves to say, they're like, you know, they're tech companies, right? Like Ethereum, sure, maybe Ethereum could be as big as Amazon or Google because it's a tech company and maybe it solves a big problem with its unique technology. But Bitcoin as a store of value that allows people to preserve their wealth through time and through space, right? And get away from the inflationary debasement that's happening, like that's something that can benefit everybody across the planet.
Yeah, it's not. I love connecting those two ideas because it's the deflationary forces of technology that we're really not seeing too much yet. I mean, but connecting that with the ideas that Bitcoin isn't a technology, it's a protocol, and that's what Jeff Booth also says. So those two people coming together, and you know, the internet is a protocol, Bitcoin is a protocol, so Bitcoin can really gain a massive amount of market cap. You know, we talk about mortgages and gold, or like houses and gold, real estate, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, Ethereum and all these other coins, they can be like a stock, like a tech stock, or like an Amazon or an Apple, but they're not going to be the main store of value for long-term storage. You know, so it's a whole different thing, and it's nice hearing when people describe it like that. It puts it into perspective, and you know, that's why we appreciate when we hear these thoughts. And one thing about the deflationary force, like, it makes me wonder, I don't know if you feel the same way, but sometimes I had heard that the government is more afraid of deflation than inflation. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so sometimes I wonder, when you think about all this money printing and debasement, I just think like the people that Quintilian effect, the people closest to the top, don't care how much it hurts the rest of the world as long as they're climbing the ranks as fast as possible before the ship sinks. So I just think that they're printing as much as they possibly can before this deflationary freight train just hits, you know. And you know, I think they're just trying to do what they can to benefit themselves and rise up as much as possible. Because that will hit. I really just think like the gradually then suddenly part of Bitcoin and AI and robotics and all this, you know, technology revolution we're living through is all going to just hit at some point. And I just really feel like it'll be a suddenly moment for all of that. So I think it's a hopeful future. I think that just means that even though we're living through this pain of inflation right now, it's, I think, because the greed and the people in power are just hurting people, just, you know, in the process, and then soon that will change. That's kind of how
Totally.
I.
Yeah, I mean the it I don't there's so much like polarization with politics and, you know, liberals versus conservatives and all the different ideologies and all the different politics that you can get into. But one thing that has become abundantly clear to me as I've learned more about the broken money is that the people that we elect into office, they're not actually there to fix the systemic problem. So, like, if you listen to Ray Dalio, he says plainly, like, we could solve this problem. It would be painful to the people whose benefits and the different programs that would be cut. Sure, there'd be pain, but like, we could solve the problem. We have the power to solve the problem, but we don't because the politicians who have to go out and campaign and get elected, they can't campaign on unpopular policies that are going to impact these voting blocks that they require in order to get elected. So they don't do it. They don't campaign on those things. They ignore them. They talk more about the new programs, the new money. And so they're just like in this loop of saying all the wrong things and doing all the wrong things because people at the base layer of society don't actually understand that the deficit spending, the increases, the continued increase in debt, that is really the ultimate crack in the foundation. But when they hear like, oh, we're going to get this new program and oh, my benefits are going to go up by this, it's like, yay, that's good for me. But that's why, like guys like Dalio, like they get it. Like we could fix this if all of Congress just opted to vote for the right things and cut spending where they had to and like stopped having these fiscal deficits that require us to print more money and require us to respond in these reckless ways, like with QE and yield curve control and all this other stuff that just kicks the can down the road and allows it to be exacerbated and continues to just get worse and worse and worse until eventually, yeah, there probably is going to be some massive deflationary event that is going to be very painful.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing about these politicians is that, it's just fueled by greed and power, and they have no incentive to fix it right now because they just care about themselves. And that's why I always think of them as modern day mobsters. They're just wearing a suit because the suit is just the costume to be like, look, you can trust me, I'm wearing a suit, but really they're just some kind of, bully, and they don't have our best interests in mind. So for people, when I see that they're super focused on politics and super angry about something or another, it's just that's what they want you to do, so you're distracted from the truth. And it's just kind of, I think the more that the government screws up and the more that people see this corruption, the more people start to find out about something like Bitcoin. Because you were in Bitcoin earlier than me, but for me it was like a lot of people 2020 when the government had a lot of big screw ups and a lot of printing. And I think that people just start to ask questions, when things, so the more they screw up, and the you think that that's just orange pilling more people because they're finding out something. And that's why I like doing, my podcast, because there's a lot of people out there who won't look at a finance episode or a tech, episode of Bitcoin, but they just want to hear people talk and they want to understand it in a way that makes sense to them. So it can be scary sometimes to go out there and try to educate people when you don't have a tech or finance background. But I think just hearing regular people speaking about it and talking about the problems and why they understand Bitcoin is just a good way to kind of help spread that voice, like wake people up.
Totally. Yeah, I'm in my early 40s and I feel like my late 30s, I went on the journey that it seems like a lot of people do. Like you get to your late 30s and you're like, what am I, where am I at in my life? Like, who am I? Do I even know? Whatever. And like you do some introspection and I learned that my number one archetype is teacher. Like I like to help others avoid mistakes perhaps that I've made or perhaps get to where it's taken me a long time to get, but like try to give people shortcuts. Like, hey, did you know this? Hey, you should consider that. I'm very direct in how I communicate and I'm very black and white. But at the same time, like I do want to help people. I do want people to see the things that can benefit them and improve their well-being. And so that was a lot of the spirit of why I created the platform was because I just feel like people don't really get the basics. They're not really doing the math. They're kind of leaning into the FUD and the opinions. And if they just had an easy way to just do some basic algebra, just like look at some numbers, play around, do some math, and just have like a small aha moment, you know, whether it's what you could be getting in your retirement account on, you know, if you were more allocated to Bitcoin versus S&P stocks, or how to think about money when it comes to down payments on things like cars and homes. It's like it's simple stuff. It's personal finance, right? It's financial literacy. And that's also why I wrote the there's an ebook you can download too. It's, you know, it's a TLDR version. It's a, you know, 15, 20 minute read, but it really consolidates what I felt like for me was, you know, 3, 4 years of just deep dives into what is money and what is the Federal Reserve and how does money even work and who are
What's
these
the name
people
of
and
it?
what's that?
What's the name of it?
It's called the Fiat Trap. It's right there on the homepage of Bitcoin Math. But it just goes through some of the stuff, right? Like I read all the books, you know, Creature from Jekyll Island and the Fed, all the different Bitcoin books from the Bitcoin Standard to, you know, God Bless Bitcoin to The Big Print to, you know, Dalio's latest book. I mean, I've read a lot of those books and it takes a while to get that kind of frame of understanding, like what is this whole money system, right? What did happen in 1913? What was the Jekyll Island meeting? Who was involved? What were their goals? What happened since then? Why does the gold confiscation of, you know, 1934, why is that important? What was Bretton Woods? Why is that important? Why is 1971 important than when we left the gold standard? Why does all that stuff matter? And it's like, yeah, you should know the answers to those questions at least at a high level. And that was the whole spirit by just saying, okay, these calculators might not be enough. Like people might also need a little bit of a history on money and why it's pretty broken and how Bitcoin offers, you know, solutions to some of these problems. And so anyway, just kind of going back to, you know, the deeper I got into Bitcoin, like the deeper I got into wanting to understand the financial system. And that was really the spirit behind writing that book, just to say, okay, people could have a, you know, 15-minute read and kind of get the Cliff's Notes on what, you know, the monetary system and everything that's happened from why we
That's
use
amazing.
gold as commodity money to what's been happening since COVID and the stimulus and the SVB collapse and all that stuff and kind of where we're at now and how Bitcoin fits in.
With Microseed, you can engrave your entire seed phrase onto a durable titanium washer. It's the ultimate backup. Simple, indestructible, giving you true peace of mind and knowing your seed phrase is secured for life. Use my link in the description to get your kit.
Satoshis. So many new styles and fully customizable. Use my referral link in the description or in the comments for 10% off your order. The Bitcoin Advisor for multi-sig custody solutions to store your Bitcoin, inheritance planning, and peace of mind. That's so amazing because you know that how there are so many people that do read books, but there's so many people that have a short attention span. And to be able to do all that studying yourself and read all these incredible books and just consolidate that information for people. It's so important for people to understand. Like, it's something that once you understand it, you just don't understand how other people have been lied to all these years and they still don't see it. Like, once you see it, you're just amazed at how many people still don't see it. So, you just want to give people tools to just find out how you've been lied to, how you've been manipulated, how money is just literally like monopoly money. Like if you're just playing monopoly and you're the bank and you could just, you know, there's that law or it, you know, that not law, there's that rule in the game that if you if the bank runs out of paper, they could just write more slips of paper. And that's just like what monopoly, how the game works. So that's a long story short too. That's just what happens in our system. And nobody knows that that's literally fake. It does, it's not based on any reality. And you get hurt by this system. You know, it actually hurts you. It hurts your time, your family life, everything. So it's nice to know the history of it because it's so important. It's not just, you know, hey, go learn about some boring finance stuff. This is like you are literally being lied to, and I can't believe that this is real life. Like this is actually happening, and it has happened and
Totally.
continues to. So it's like people are waking up, and the great thing about Bitcoin is if it wasn't for Bitcoin, we'd be complaining about all this stuff with no exit. You know, there would be no answer to this. But we are so lucky that you can find out about this and we have a way out. Like, we don't have to live in that world. We don't have to live in that system that steals from you. So, you know, when I try to explain Bitcoin to people in the simplest way possible, I just try to say a Michael Saylor sort of idea. Like, the regular system is like a boat full of holes, but Bitcoin is just, nothing escapes it, you know, so you put it in there, it stays, you know, nobody can take that from you. And it's just nobody, no power, no government, nothing. So it's just, it's a vault, it's a shield for all your time spent working. So it's just nice to give people tools, you know, and you've probably repeated yourself a million times over to people, you know, trying to tell them these tools. But when you build a website like this and add the book to it, and it's a compressed version of knowledge that you have, you could just share the website with them and be like, you should really learn about this. It's very important. Yeah. It's not just finance, like go invest money. This is just teaching you how to escape the mob, like the modern day mob. Totally. It's, when you read all those stories and you find out about the history of it, it's like, do you want these mobsters to control your life, you know? Yeah. And we don't, you know, so it's just, thank God we have Bitcoin to get out of it, you know? So it's just, totally. Please find out, please go learn about it. And it's nice that you have built something where it's an educational tool. So when you talk about doing math, is it like plug in numbers to see, like how simple do you make it for people to calculate things? Like if they hear math, they think, oh God, what am I going to do? Like crazy math or something.
No, I mean, if you have a smartphone and you can do this with your finger, like you can interact with the calculators. And there's 15, like the calculators are just one piece, but that's really the more fun, dynamic, interactive piece of it. It's more hands-on, where you can go and interact with, say, just the basic money management, cash, savings calculators. There's three of them where you can just plug in, okay, how much cash do I have in the bank today? Okay, I've got $5,000. What's the bank paying me? What's the APY? What interest am I earning? Okay, I'm earning 1%. What do I think, or what is the rate of inflation? Okay, it's 3%. And then boom, how many years do you want to model in this scenario? Okay, I want to see this for 5 years, right? Like those are all easy inputs, right? That's not difficult. Yeah. And then you have a slider bar for the Bitcoin compound annual growth rate. There's also a link in there. You can see the historic CAGR for the last 16 years to give yourself a frame of reference if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. And then you can model the scenarios for different projected or estimated Bitcoin CAGR metrics to see, okay, mm-hmm. what does my cash look like sitting in the bank for this period that I've just configured?
Yeah.
And how does that compare to the same amount of money invested in Bitcoin today growing at this CAGR based on the inflation and everything else? And you can just see the numbers.
Yes. That's
super
so
simple.
Smart. Yeah, and it's like you just plug in a couple numbers and you can see what's better. Like, would you rather stay in this system where you're being stolen from, or would you rather invest in something that no one can take from you and that's why it grows? And exactly. The other thing I wonder is the inflation calculator, because I've heard, you know, when people hear that, okay, inflation, they're trying to get down to 2%, they say it's 3%, but that whole lie that they spread about what data they use for those interest points. It's, they used to use, you know, energy, food, housing, like that kind of stuff in the inflation data. But as inflation gets worse, they're removing data points to make it seem better than it really is. But when people talk about going to the grocery store the last 4 or 5 years and you're spending double at the grocery store, that's not 3% inflation. That's like 40% inflation. When it comes to things like even your rent or your food or energy, you know, gas, electric, whatever. So a lot of these data points are just, it's like, that's even being very nice that's all you're losing. That's all they're stealing from you. Totally. If you can actually like add data points for how much food is costing you more for real and not like these, you know, fake models, it's like you are in a much better situation if you invest in Bitcoin, because you are being stolen from so much more than you are being told. So,
the other thing people don't get about inflation is that, I mean, to your point, yes, it's synthetic. They manipulate the basket of goods that they use to measure the prices. So like when chocolate and when coffee went through the roof last year, I think it was, or earlier this year, They got rid of it, you know, no longer in the basket because they don't want it dragging the averages up, or they'll replace it with like some other type, you know, of the same product that hasn't experienced that level of inflation.
Like tea.
Exactly, exactly. So it's synthetic for that reason, because they control the items that are in the basket of goods. Therefore, they control the measurement. But the other thing people don't seem to understand is that even if they got back to 2% inflation, that's 2% from the year prior. And if you go back to the beginning of 2020, I think it was, I just did a, I just was creating some content around this. Since the beginning of 2020, they've increased the money supply by 44%. Yeah. Now, has inflation been 44% since the beginning of 2020? No. But in looking at some of the different categories like food, food is up like 27% or 25%. Rent is up like 30%. Insurance is up like 15%. Like, there's a lot of categories that are up pretty significantly since the beginning of 2020, all due to the fact that they increased the amount of money that was circulating in the system. And I think people forget that just because inflation came down, well, it was still so high that now that number that's back down 2-3% is above what it was at the prior year.
Yeah.
So like it, you know, I don't know why people are exactly. It's growing on top of the prior year. So until we get into negative territory, like we're not actually going back in time to get prices down, we're just going up a little bit less than we did the year before.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And then when you also think about certain things like, okay, food, grocery store prices might be a certain percentage, but when I just hear so many more people talk about now how they're just cooking at home or not going out to dinner as much as they used to, because when you go out, even to a fast food place for your family, you're spending as much as almost going out to a restaurant sometimes, because it's costing so much more. And then when you go to these fast food places, everything is getting smaller. So even though they're charging you almost double, now they're shrinking. Like Dunkin' Donuts used to have a full-size donut, and it's like a little small donut now. Like, it looks like everything is just getting smaller. So so they're trying to cut back and save money while they're raising their price. Yeah, shrinkflation. Yeah. So it's like still manipulation in different ways, because they're like, okay, maybe I didn't go up double in my price, but I cut out 25% of what I used to give you or something like that. So, so it's still like all sorts of manipulation, and yeah, it'd be interesting to see if you could add data points for like food really is this much and that's not included. So let's add that to the, you know, what inflation really is costing you kind of stuff, you know? So it's, or just have like some kind of note in there being, you know, mentioning the fact that what inflation data is used for that 3%, but what used to be used, but now isn't, just so people can like know that you're being tricked, you know, more and more just, but I think that keeping it simple is important, you know, keeping people just to do the calculations, learn some information. Yep. You don't want to, you know, give people too much, you know, so that they could just figure it out, you know, figure out why it's better. And I mean, it's just, you know, and that's why recently I figured out where I've been trying to talk to people at my work about Bitcoin for so many years. And instead of trying to teach people so much, because I know that everyone talks about education, which I think something like what you're doing is so important, because you could just share that, give people tools, and they can go and use it. But sometimes the time you spend trying to do it yourself person to person is so time consuming, and then it still doesn't get through to people. So just giving them the answer, like, I don't know, keep it simple and give them the tools. But one thing that I've been doing is when I you know, I do hair, so when I check people out, I tell them about getting a discount if they pay in Bitcoin. So and then they don't really know how, so they're, and I tell them, well, I could give you a discount if you pay in it, I could show you how to do it. And then they're pretty much like, I mean, I've only just started doing this, I don't know what I was doing all these years, but all the time I've told people about Bitcoin and why they need it and why it's great, there's not that many of them that are asking me, how do I download something to get it? You know, but when I offer them a discount, all of a sudden they're downloading it right away. I'm showing them how to buy it, and then they're sending it to me wallet to wallet, you know, because they, and especially as prices are getting higher in life, they want to try to save whatever money they can. So as soon as you offer a discount, people are like, all right, I'm doing the Bitcoin thing. I'm getting a discount. So, and for me, it's worth it. Even if I'm giving a discount, just like how you said, the CAGR, the average growth rate, it's benefiting me anyway in the long term, because I'm not selling that anytime soon. So, and I don't have to pay a third party for taking a cut from a credit card company, you know, so it's like, why should I pay that? So I'd rather starve that system that steals from us if I can. And then also now they know how to buy Bitcoin. So it's kind of like, instead of just trying to like teach them verbally, like either creating a tool like you are or doing something that people can find that information or give them incentive to use Bitcoin, because then now they realize how easy it is to use. It's not something scary. And then maybe they'll start to learn about it because now they know how to do it.
Totally. Yeah. And that's kind of what I hope people, because I think at the end of the day, everybody who has money in the bank or has a job, I mean, even if you don't have a job, like everybody has a need for money to be able to go and buy the goods and services that make them happy and allow them to be healthy and really just live. I mean, you ultimately have to have money to be able to live, right? So that's kind of what I'm hoping people will just have an aha moment, whether they're more interested in looking at a retirement calculator, or maybe it's the cash savings, or maybe it's a college 529 savings plan for their kids. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm saving for my kids' college. Now I put away $120 a month in this Vanguard 529 plan that earns me 6% every year. It's like, okay, how does that compare for 18 years at Bitcoin earning 15%? Just do the math and just look at it side by side. Oh, okay. Wow. If I need to save $100,000, I could be saving less by just having Bitcoin as the asset instead of putting it away in this 529 plan that's only giving me 6%. There's also like Bitcoin lifestyle models on there, right? How do you live a Bitcoin standard? How do you get started? How do you manage? How do you think about LTV and risk of liquidation and things of that nature? How do you retire on your Bitcoin, right? Oh, I'm a small business owner. I wanna do the math on a Bitcoin treasury strategy. What if I bought this much Bitcoin to start and then I did a DCA for this much every month and my interest was 9%? What does that look like for 10 years? Boom, do the math, have it showed to you in 30 seconds, right? That's kind of the whole spirit of it, is just making it fun, hands-on, and letting people just tailor the inputs so they can have their own tailored outputs that make sense for them, instead of somebody like me saying, do the math. It's like, just do it yourself. You know, it's super easy to just plug in your values and, you know, see what the outputs look like.
I am going to use your website on my videos for informational, you know, links for people, because this is incredible. I'm going to put that going forward so people can find that information in the description. So that is going to definitely be something I mention. And I'm always going to have it in my videos, because that is so important. I mean, giving people tools, if they're watching a video and looking at the description, they'll click something. I will definitely even put it in the comments today, just so people can find it from this video specifically. But I want to keep it on there going forward, because it's something that people need information and tools to actually see for their own scenario, because they might just think, oh, maybe that works for you, but not for me. But this can help customize everyone's vision of how their future would look based on what they have, you know, so and what goals they have. Do they have kids in college and all that? And even when you're talking about the 529, I think I've heard that if you, let's say, I don't know, there's a lot of people who think about college differently as time is going on, because it's getting so expensive. And I've even thought about it for when our kids grow up and go to college. You know, my husband didn't go to a four-year university. He did community college for 2 years, and then he went on and finished afterwards. But so many people, they're just stuck on the idea of like, I need to give my kids that experience and do 4 years of college and spend all that money. Yeah. But how much will it cost by the time our kids go? And what if our kids go to college? Like, there's so many people that I know as adults that have finished college, gotten a degree, and they work in a career that doesn't even require the degree they got in college. So yep. Most people, unless you're going for something ultra specific that you need that degree for, there's a lot of people I know that just pretty much wasted that money because they, you know, they don't need it. They didn't need it. You too?
I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's so common. So what do you do now?
So now I run private client services for a pretty well-known Bitcoin-backed lending company.
Nice. So, and how did you go into then any sort of tech field or anything?
I went to college thinking I was going to get a generic degree because I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Right.
I'll be honest. I wasn't the most disciplined high school student.
Mm-hmm.
I was more having fun, and school was kind of this annoying thing. Mm-hmm. So my grades weren't like super great, but I did get into college. I went to a state college here in Washington. And when I got there, I didn't know what I wanted to do per se. So I was going to get this generic degree called Interdisciplinary Studies, where you basically just get like 40 credits from these three categories that break down all the courses, right?
Yeah.
Well, one of those categories was business, like business, finance, economics, whatever, math. And as I was taking some of those to satisfy those requirements, I thought, I actually like this and I'm pretty good at this. Maybe I'll change my major. So I changed my major and I got a business management degree instead. And because I changed my major so late, I had to do summer school for 3 straight years. So that was fun while working full time. So that was a blast. But I got that done. I got a degree. And then I'm kind of a grinder. I'm kind of somebody who likes to go in and roll up his sleeves and just get stuff done. And so I thought, oh, I'm just going to get an entry level sales job at a tech company. I'm going to go sell technology. And so I did that and I was really good at it. And so I stayed in sales for, 17, 18, almost 20 years. And then I got to the end of that and I was like, man, I'm really good at this and I've made some good money. I've got a really strong resume, but I don't know, like I'd rather do something I'm more passionate about. Like how can I apply this stuff I'm good at professionally, something I'm super passionate about personally? And what was the answer? Mm-hmm. It was Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And so I just went on this crazy like search and was reaching out to companies, and I happened to reach out to the company I work for now, and they had a position upcoming and there was a really good fit, and I've been there now for about 1.5 years and it's been fantastic. I get to do Bitcoin stuff all day, every day. I get to help people. I get to help companies. I get to help our team, you know, innovate and evolve and come up with new tools and strategies and things that we can use to help people borrow against their Bitcoin. It's just been fantastic.
So what company is that?
Salt Lending.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I had someone from Salt Lending on before.
Hunter.
Yes. Yes. And I just think it's such an incredible company. So that's I'm so happy for you. And I bet when you worked in that other job for all those years, you felt like you were doing something you were good at, so you liked it. But it's like now you probably go to work and you're just really loving it because you're actually working in something that you care about, you know. So it just changes your energy level.
Totally.
You're just like, it's crazy how that can change. Like, you, even though you're like, okay, I'm good at it, but just feeling like you're helping people, you're just, I don't know, it feels so important, you know. It doesn't feel like you're just doing a job.
Yeah. It's more purpose driven. I think that's really the difference, is when you're just out doing something you're good at to make money, like there's not as much purpose there. And like, I'm a very purpose oriented person. I need to feel connected to the things I do in my life. Like otherwise I'll just wake up and be like, another day of,
yeah.
You know, whereas now I get up and like, I've got purpose, and that gives me that ignites my passion. And so, yeah, it's just so much more fulfilling day in and day out to go do something that you love.
It was Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. Hunter's my boss.
Yeah. That's
Hunter,
what it was.
Hunter's who hired me. We were just together in Colorado last week doing a bunch of social media content stuff. He's fantastic. So he's great. He sits on the board of the Crypto Consortium Institute. He also teaches blockchain at the University of Denver, I believe it is. And he's great. So,
That's what I remember. I've been telling people about that because I was so excited to hear that he's actually teaching about that in college, you know, because I thought that that was not being done. So that I love to hear that. That was incredible. And I love how he's just, it's such a Bitcoin focused company about just, you know, he said the line is like, we want you to keep your Bitcoin. That's like, we want to make sure you're not over leveraged and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's super nice to see. And because people do, you know, as much as you say, I don't want to sell my Bitcoin, but you know, that idea of borrowing against it to also accumulate more, you know, in a responsible way, but also to just think about it, just kind of, you things come up in life, you know, and if you do have to help your kids with something one day and you're still trying to stack Bitcoin, you know, it's something where you don't want to be have to sell it, you know, just be able to kind of leverage against it for things you need. So yeah, I love that those are options that there are now. And it's so nice that you're working for a company that's doing that, you know, that's actually showing people you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. And just like you said, I
That's
think with
right.
Strike, like you're putting it in there and they're also doing it. So it's giving people options to not feel like they're just kicking themselves if they need the money, like if you need something in the meantime. But the thing we were saying about college too though is that, you know, you had that same situation where you went and learned you know, what you learned, but then you got into a different sort of field that you didn't need your degree for. It's just that you don't know how sometimes to even guide your kids because you don't know what jobs will be relevant, you know, soon after with this technology boom we're having. So, you know, you're gonna tell your kids, oh, you go to college because that's what everyone does. That's the next step. But if they don't know what they want to do either specifically, and you're just telling them to go just to go, that's just kind of a waste of money, you know. And I think that if you were to have your money in this 529 account or whatever it is for their future education, I think if you don't use it for college specifically and you withdraw the money other than college, don't you get taxed for that? You
Yeah,
think?
there's some there are some other benefits to 529 plans. Like you do get some special treatment. I don't know. I just the returns are so modest. I mean, that's kind of how it's designed though, is low risk, but you get the low return. That's why they encourage you to start doing it when your kids are, you know, infants. But yeah, no, I do think there are some special tax treatments that are available there. But yeah, I mean, my daughter is she just turned 17, and we're talking about college, and you know, I'm being supportive. I mean, she seems pretty sure that she wants to go to medical school and get her degree in radiology. She's kind of done all the assessing of, okay, what am I good at? What do I like? How do I think I would enjoy these kinds of jobs? And so we're super excited for her because she seems really confident in that path. But man, the numbers are scary. It's like, wow, this is gonna cost what now? Like, are you 100% sure
Selling
this
it.
is what you want to do?
Right. Yeah, no, but if they know, if they really are passionate about that and they know that it will be a good job for them and it would fit, that's great, you know, and they do need, you can't just say, I'm going to be a radiologist without that schooling. So, but yeah, you just want to make sure that your kids are sure because you don't want to say, oh, now I changed my mind and, you know, oh, it's so hard. But the other thing, I wonder if there's a calculation or, you know, you wonder at the rate that they're giving you, if even if you start when they're infants and you start and you get 6% a year back or interest, then you have to also kind of like, it's just interesting to think about how much college cost, you know, when they were born versus how much it's got, like how much has it gone up? Like how much interest would that be in the rate increase of college? So the amount of money you're getting back from one of those accounts, even if you get special benefits or whatever, compared to the rise in college costs, is that keeping up with that? I don't know.
I don't know. I
Interesting.
really don't know. I look at it two ways. Is number one, you could just look at investing the same nominal dollar amount every month and just compare the returns over 18 years. Or if you have a specific goal in mind, say 100 grand, 200 grand, whatever, okay, well, do the math the other way then. How much would you have to put into an asset earning you, say, 20% compound growth annually compared to investing in a 529 earning you 6%? And the answer is, well, you'll have to put about three times more money away every month to get to that same goal than if you were investing in an asset that was producing 20% compounding annually. And, you know, it's hypothetical, like nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but that's the whole point is we'll model it out, you know, look at the historic data and at least be aware of it. That way you can make the decision that is best suited for your goals or your strategy or your financial parameters. But that's really the point, right? Is at least be aware of it and just do the math. That way you can make a more informed decision. And that's really the ultimate goal, is just be able to make the most informed decision that you can.
Yeah, I think that's super important these days as a parent, because, you know, we've lived through a lot. You know, I'm about the same age as you, and we, you know, have kids, and we've lived through no technology life to so much technology. We've lived through, you know, life feeling like it was like you could save money to now you can't save money to, you know, we've lived through this huge inflationary period of time, and we've had kids during that. And when I had my kids, I didn't think about the pressure of the financial world the same way as I do now. And I think that it's something, it's your responsibility as a parent to notice the pain. And if you have kids, it's something you should do. You should learn. Even if you think Bitcoin sounds risky, find out why the traditional system is risky. Mm-hmm. You know, find out why you think it's just and fair and it isn't, you know, and how that won't help your kids going forward. If you continue to, it's not like you're trying to be greedy and make a profit for yourself. Even at this stage, like none of us that have children that are seeing this, it's not like we're doing it because we want to get rich quick and go buy a bunch of stuff and show off for people. We don't care about that. We care because we've seen how hard it's getting, and we have children that we have to help and support. And it's something that you need to figure out. You should look at it. And I don't know, the more people that you kind of feel bad when people aren't thinking about this, because, you know, at some point they're going to feel the pain. You know, the less it's hurting you now, it will eventually. And it's your responsibility to find out about this new, you know, revolutionary protocol. That's really just, something as a parent you need to do. I don't know. It's almost like it should be in parenting books too, to be like, find out how you're lied to, find out about money. You know, it's crazy. So out of all people that need it, it's like, you need to prepare for your kids' future. And I know a lot of people think that, oh, it's for me and my retirement, my kids could figure it out. But you're also teaching them that by doing this yourself, that they know this is the way you save money now. Like, there is no such thing as saving money without Bitcoin. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, my daughter's got a lot of education on these topics, but man, she's not nearly as interested as I would like her to be. And I think, you know, she probably looks at a lot of it as, you know, over the top, like, Dad, do I really have to look at this? Dad, come on, I've already. But to her credit, she watched the whole Big Short, the movie The Big Short,
yes,
with me, she was inquisitive, asked questions. That was a huge learning experience. We've watched some videos and talked about inflation. What is it? Why does it happen? You know, she read my ebook and she kind of gave me some pointers and feedback on that. And, you know, she's given me some feedback on how to set up a TikTok account. So I set up a TikTok for Bitcoin Math just to share videos and high level kind of nuggets in hopes of just getting some more content in front of her and just younger people so they can kind of start connecting those dots and hopefully having like a curious, like, wait, what kind of moment, and then be curious enough to go and find the answers, or at least ask the questions that will lead them to the answers that, you know, people like you and I are very, very familiar with. And as a result of that, being so confident and so, I would even say for myself, so optimistic, because I now understand all this dark truths of how broken the money is, but I've also found Bitcoin, and I feel like that's going to help me in a meaningful way. If this system does ultimately fail in some explosive manner, I do feel like I've found the life raft to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it feels like as a parent, you can parent better and teach your kids better because you're not stressed all the time. You're not worried about that impending doom that might happen right. But once you have Bitcoin, like you said, you feel like you're on a raft, so you can be more calm, happier of a parent. You know, you're just not stressed the same way as you were prior to this. So, so I think kids that have calmer, happier parents have a better outlook on life too. You know, they're not just seeing it from that lens like that you are. But it's nice that you got her to watch those things with you and give you tips and help you out with stuff. I feel like my kids are the same way. My oldest isn't as old as your daughter. He just turned 14, but they understand about inflation and they understand. I talked to them about Bitcoin and they kind of get it, but they're young. You know, my kids, the other two are younger than him, and they, even though you think they are not really getting it, anything you teach them, it's in their mind. It's in the back of their head. They see what you're doing and they see that I'm doing a Bitcoin podcast. They see how passionate I am and you are. And, you know, they are absorbing this information, even if it doesn't seem like their top priority now. And also kids that have Bitcoin parents, I think that because they have us, they know that they're like, we've already taken them out of the sinking ship and we're already watching out for them in that way. And so they trust us. They know that we're doing something good for them and they don't have to worry about it because we've already done that work. Yeah. So maybe they're not that ultra focused because they're still young. They have things, they have, you know, fun to have and they have the kid things to do. They're not like, so they know that we've handled it, you know, as Bitcoin parents. So they're, and then one day they'll appreciate it so much because they'll realize, hey, everything my parents were telling me about and that I didn't think was that important, thank God they did that, you know?
Right.
So it's just like they, but I think that the kids that don't, I really hope that they start looking at Bitcoin math and they start putting in those numbers, even for whatever they're saving or whatever job they work, you know, who don't have Bitcoin parents yet. Teach your parents about Bitcoin, help them retire, or save your own money. You know, learn to save if you don't yet have parents who have understood it. Like it's great for anyone at any age. Like before you have kids, after you have kids, retirement. I mean, everyone needs this. So, and everyone could benefit from it.
I mean, I bought my daughter and my niece and my nephew. What was it called? Explain Bitcoin to Me Like I'm Five or something is a small little thin picture book. But hey, you know what? Let's just start with the basics, the fundamentals, connect some of those super high level dots, and then just at least have that in your frame of reference. Mm-hmm. And so I bought them those books years ago, a few years ago now. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of resources out there for anybody that, you know, wants to get started. And that's really the spirit of, you know, Bitcoin math is, hey, geek out on some tools, plug in some numbers. If you don't know where to get started, there's also an education page that's just, you know, books, documentaries, certifications, influencers, X accounts, you name it, resources you can tap into. You know, I put up the strategy playbook as well, the ways that I get allocated to Bitcoin, whether it's cold storage, whether it's hot wallets, whether it's DeFi, borrowing against your Bitcoin, retirement
so you have your
accounts.
Wallet. Like wallet suggestions and stuff too on there.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's tailored for anybody and everybody. If you're a brand new person that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin, great. We've got some basic educational resources for you. If you're advanced and you want to, you know, look at some advanced strategies like converting home equity to Bitcoin or, you know, setting up a Bitcoin treasury for your company or things like that. Cool. We got you covered there too. So it's pretty wide and pretty deep. And that's kind of the point.
Does Salt Lending also do, I forgot if they do multi-sig custody?
Nope. No multi-sig. Me and my head of crypto ops, we actually authored a piece that was published by Milk Road. Are you familiar with Milk Road?
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a couple of hacks over the past couple of years that exploited multi-sig wallets. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because those keys exist in their full form. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas we use MPC wallets, multi-party computation built on top of Fireblocks, where the individual private key is never, it's always sharded into multiple fragments. So you could never really truly assemble the key to authorize a transaction using MPC, but it does still give you multi-party. So there's multiple parties that have to bring their shard together to approve the transaction. So you get the same security benefits without some of the vulnerabilities and the rigidity in the event of like a downturn and having to bring, you know, three keys together to approve transactions. This is a more flexible way to do that.
Okay, so you could do it flexibly, like by yourself or with others, or only with others?
It's only with others, yeah. So the governance mechanism is similar. It's just that with a multi-sig, like if somebody leaves the company, you have to regenerate everybody's keys. If somebody loses one, you have to, you know, there's just a lot more ongoing management of the keys themselves. Whereas with MPC, it still gives you the same benefits of a multi-sig without some of that rigidity and some of that clunkiness. But don't get me wrong, I love multi-sig. Like for self-custody, multi-sig is I think the best, right? Do you have a multi-sig wallet if you're going to use something that's online, right? Like Unchained or Theia or you know, one of the other ones. But when you post your Bitcoin as collateral and you want to borrow against it, now there's other parties involved. So you're not just, it's no longer a self-custody scenario. And that's where MPC solves some of those problems.
Okay. So that's good for if you're doing the collateral solutions, especially.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And it's good to, I think the reason why that's good is because, yeah, you need to have solutions for that to post it as collateral. If it was just cold storage only, single key, you know, type storage, you know, you don't trust them to hold it. They don't trust you to hold it if you're posting as collateral. So you need these types of solutions. But the thing that I think is interesting about multi-sig is that for people who their biggest barrier to getting into Bitcoin is worrying about how do I store this and what if I lose it? And you know what I mean? Having all that responsibility on them, if they're too scared to have that responsibility or God forbid something happens to them and you know, they don't have a backup set up for someone to figure out how to do it. I think for those types of situations, it gives people more comfort to allocate more to Bitcoin instead of just be careful with it and not put too much just in case that thing happens that they're worried about. So I think it really gives people more peace of mind to be able to allocate more knowing that it's not just like, because I've heard something where the biggest threat to Bitcoin is yourself sometimes. So if you lose your own seed phrase or do something like that, you're, you know, or lose your wallet and your seed phrase. So yeah, it's one of those things that I think helps people who aren't that confident to be able to have Bitcoin solutions. So yeah, so thank you so much. I can't wait to share this. And I am definitely adding your website to my videos because people need this type of solution. They need a way to calculate. Like people want to know. It's not just, hey, Bitcoin is great. It's actually being able to see the numbers, plug in the numbers, you know, and do it easy. You don't have to contact some financial advisor to figure this out. You can go to this website and get that information yourself.
That's right. Yeah, it's all free. It's easy to use. It's mobile friendly. And we make it easy to reach out to me too. I get emails regularly because it's like, hey, we ask for feedback. If you have questions, send us a note. If you have feedback, send us a note. You know, I'm pretty responsive. And so yeah, it's, you know, we try to make it interactive and we try to help people as best we can because at the end of the day, our goal is to help people see the light, you know, understand money and inflation and some of these other financial literacy concepts better. And of course, just, you know, have a little bit more information about Bitcoin and what it can do for you.
Yes, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And you can find Shane at Bitcoin. What is your handle on Twitter, actually, on X?
It's BitcoinMath_org.
Okay. So
all of our socials are on the homepage of bitcoinmath.org.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, even if I just post that below, you'll be able to find how to connect with them on the website. So I'll be sharing that in the video. It will be in the description down below when I post it, but thank you so much again for joining me today. And I'm so happy that you're doing something you're passionate about.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.